Seven knife and hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hell is.
Yo, happy Victory Monday. It is September 26, 2022. It's your boy Scott. This is 79th and Hollis, episode 203. Once again, I am by myself. I know a lot of y'all probably getting sick of me. I'm gonna keep saying this, but yeah, my brother has the throat issue, so you know it's really up and down on when he can talk, when he can't talk. He did come to the game yesterday, asked a couple questions in the media session, but couldn't, you know, wasn't well enough voice wise to talk. So it's really just kind of like a day to day thing with that. So we hope that, you know, he'll be able to join us this week for the preview pod and of course the recap pod after Bears Giants. So we'll see. Just wanted to keep y'all updated on you know, everything going on here. But in the meantime, y'all gonna have to deal with me solo. So it's your boy Scott. You know, follow me on Twitter at Barbchair Scott. You can follow 79th and Hollis, 79th and Hollis. That's A&D Hollis. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We have three different types of tiers. You got the Summer Sessions tier, which is $5. If you just want to hear the Summer Sessions podcast with me, my brother Flo's, Damien, even though they haven't been on there in a long time, Pav, Merc Murphy, and JR Band, you know, you can fill out for that for the $5 package. If you just want to get our Bears content, you can subscribe to the 79th and Hollis package for $5. But if you want all of it, which is the one, the package I suggest you guys get, and that's actually the leading patrons right now, we have the most patrons under this, is the All Access package, and you get everything, all the videos, all the podcasts, you know, all the exclusive stuff, everything, man. So subscribe to that, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Visit the bcnet.com. The Barber's Chair shop is on the way, man. A lot of good stuff going on. We got the recap video that I did on field while it was raining randomly. But that is up on the Patreon right about now. No video for this episode this week. I got a lot of things going on in this room right now as I am getting ready to pack. Doing all the, I got like my workspace set up in here doing a whole bunch of work right now. So it looks a mess. The room that I'm in right now looks a mess right now. And I really got to get this together because I'm going back to Los Angeles in the morning. So you know, it was fun. Shout out to everybody who I ran into these last three games doing for the Bears. It was super cool, man. I will be not doing the Bears games for probably about next 5 to 6 weeks. I was supposed to do the Cowboy game. Doesn't look like I'm going to make it. I will be starting season 2 of my coverage of the Los Angeles Clippers, so look out for that. That should be fun. So we got a lot of good coverage coming for y'all from the Clippers this season at the Barber's Chair Network. So my first Bears game back after that will probably be the home game against the Lions. I will for sure be doing the next two road games I'll be doing will be the Falcons game and then the Jets game. But my brother will be covering every game from here on out for the most part. Like, you'll get either me or my brother or both of us covering a game for the rest of the season outside of this upcoming Sunday. My brother won't be going to New York for the Giants game, but he will be next week. I think they play Minnesota after that as I look up the Bears schedule here. But he's going to be doing that. So basically you'll have, you know, a representative from one of us or both of us for the rest of the season at these games coming up. So actually, I don't know why I fucking, was Googling this. We just looked this on my phone, but, there will be a representative from either one of us or both of us for the rest of the season after this Giants game, because neither one of us will be making the trip to New York. So, yeah, he'll be doing the Vikings game on the road, and then they play the Commanders Thursday night football. Then after that, they go on the road for the Patriots game. We won't be at the Patriots game either. He's going to be doing Dallas. And so I'll be back for, like, the Bears-Lions game. So, yeah, that's pretty much that. As far as practice coverage, my brother works, so he won't be at practice. So what I'll be doing is, I'll be watching the streams of the press conferences that's going on for the Bears. And I'll still, you know, give the content of what's being said at these press conferences, but I will not be in attendance for a while. So a lot of things going on. So I just wanted to give y'all that update. But it's Victory Monday. Even though it doesn't necessarily feel like a Victory Monday, it is a Victory Monday. The Bears won at the buzzer yesterday, 23-20 over the Houston Texans with Cairo Santos' 44-yard field goal after a massive Roquan Smith interception of Davis Mills that got them right in territory. So the Bears are 2-1 right now, tied for second place in the division. The Vikings are tied right now. Well, actually, no, the Bears are just second place. Yeah, because the Vikings and Packers are tied for first place in the division at 2-1. So this thing about this, just this is my initial thoughts before we get into the overall, you know, breakdown of this game. It was an ugly win. It was an ugly win. Like, I can't say I can't remember, but a lot of times as a Bears fan, you had these wins, and it's just like, it don't feel good. You know what I'm saying? And this is something, this is a season where I don't care about wins. I've said this countless times, and, you know, during training camp, doing our previews, you know, these first 3 weeks of the season, I don't care about wins and losses for this team. All I care about is development of the young players on this team and development of this franchise quarterback we have here. So coming into this game, you know, watching this game, you seeing just how bad Justin Fields looked. It was terrible. It's the worst I've ever seen him look. Not just in a Bears uniform, but period. And it, you know, it's kind of hard to be excited off a win. You know, it was like the classic Bears win. Defense did their job, running game did their job, very sus passing game. And after a while, you just get tired of it. You know, we just had a moment in the press box yesterday where my brother was like, why is it that every team can easily put up points? I mean, even look at the Atlanta Falcons, you know, through these first 3 weeks. They've been able to put up points. The Atlanta Falcons have been able to score. You know, the Detroit Lions can score. You know, all these different teams, even the sorry teams can put up points. But it's like with the Bears, it's like trying to solve, you know, the biggest equation in history. It doesn't make any sense. It just top to bottom. And it's just an eyesore, man. It's almost 2023, man. Like, I'm not here to be seeing, you know, all these runs. Like, you know, I had 40 carries yesterday, 40 runs for the Bears total between Khalil Herbert, Justin Fields, Equanimeous St. Brown, Tristan Ebner, and David Montgomery. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just nasty football, bro. And this type of stuff you can get away with against the Houston Texans. But these potent offenses or even teams that even, you know, they don't even have to be good teams, they can score. It's not, you're not going to be able to hang, man. So it's just something where, you know, usually I'm on the win is a win thing. And, you know, you're improving all this stuff. I ain't like what I saw yesterday. I didn't like what I saw. And this draws me to the number one thing I didn't like. So I didn't like what I saw from Justin Fields. Now, last week was Justin Fields was, you know, officially introduced to the fire of the Chicago sports media. And it's just going to get louder this week. It's just going to get louder this week. Like I said last week, a lot of it does have to do with him being a black quarterback. And they're not going to give him the opportunities, at least the fan base in the media here, that they would give these other white quarterbacks. Also, though, the man is not playing well. Like, we can't, you know, escape this fact that the man is just not playing well. He played, in the first week of the season, he had a good second half, did not have a good first half. Last week against Green Bay, had some questionable moves, you know what I'm saying? But the question really was last year, the passing attempts. Last week, the passing attempts. This week, he threw the ball 17 times, which is basically what he did in week one, went 8 for 17, 106 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And we're going to get into the minute of, you know, how, you know, we got to talk about the offensive line too, because he was sacked 5 times. So he actually, there was actually more than, it was 20 plus pass plays called. And I'm glad Luke Getsy said that last week about everybody's about the 11 carries. He's like, well, I called, you know, 20 pass plays. This week, he called more than 20 pass plays. The man got sacked 5 times. So, but the thing that was, you know, concerning for me is I just don't like how he looks in the pocket right now. His pocket awareness is terrible. And in the first quarter, and that wasn't the whole game. Well, I know a lot of Bears fans, it wasn't the whole game. As the game got longer, more, it was harder for the wide receivers weren't getting open. The offensive line got worse. But in the first quarter, guys were open. You know what I'm saying? And there was a lot of underthrows. There was a lot of overthrows. A lot of those balls just like they were floating in the air. And it's like he's not trusting what he's seeing. And it's like he has to get it off much quicker than he does. And it's actually confusing for me because this is something I thought he did much better in training camp in the preseason, was getting the ball out quicker. And I don't want to say that it's getting to him. I don't know him personally. I don't know what gets to him, what doesn't get him. I'm just telling you from what it looks like I see. And from what it looks like a lot of the people watching this game see, it looks like he's not trusting what he's seeing. Like he's second-guessing every throw, every pass. And that's not how you're gonna be a good quarterback in this league. You have to trust the throw. And like I keep saying, I do not care about interceptions. This is 2022-2023 NFL. You're going to throw picks, but you have to throw the ball. And I know, you know, and there's one thing about when you have these conversations on Twitter, Twitter's not the place for nuance. Yes, you know, I saw somebody in our mentions like, well, you're only blaming Justin Fields. No, that's the main thing we're looking at, but it's everybody's fault. It's not just Justin Fields, you know. Luke Getsy in the offense, he has to keep calling these plays for him, despite the fact that he doesn't look good. You got to keep calling him. He's not only way he's going to get better is if he throws through it. You got to find out what you got in this guy, man. Period. One way or another. So it's on him. It's on Luke Getsy. It's on the offensive line. It's on the wide receiver. This is a group effort for why this passing game isn't good. But the number one thing right now is Justin Fields, to me, not trusting what he's saying. And he has to get better at that. Now, you know, like I said, he could be bad. I don't know. We don't know. You still got a lot more games. Like I said last week, I'm not finna get off the bandwagon or, you know, say he's trash or whatever just off three games into the season, just off three starts, this 13 start. I'm going to give him the whole season. But I do feel like this, by the end of the season, I'm not saying he's got to be amazing, but by the end of the season, this front office has to know, at least have an idea of what kind of guy they've gotten Justin Fields, because they're going to have the most space in the NFL cap-wise this upcoming year. And they still have a lot of holes on this team. You got to get better wide receivers. You got to get a better offensive line. You got to add things. You need an elite pass rusher on this defense. And I'll get to the defense in a minute about, you know, what I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? You might have to pay Roquan Smith, depending on what you want to do with that situation. So you need to know what you got in Justin. Because if Justin shows you something, he's like, okay, then we can invest in him. If Justin continues to play he's playing right now or plays worse than he's playing right now, then you got a situation on your hands where you might need another quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And that's just something that Justin he's got to get better. Now, the good thing for the Bears in their next couple games, the next five games, like they have a chance to win all of these games. Like this thing, they are 2-1. They're going next week to New York to play the Giants. That means you get to play Daniel Jones. Not a great quarterback. Then after that, you're on the road to Minnesota. Minnesota, yes, they're 2-1 right now. But the thing about Minnesota is Kirk Cousins is going to give you every chance to beat you. You know what I'm saying? He's going to give you a shot. This is a team, they have not looked impressive 3 weeks into the season. You know, they beat the Packers, destroyed the Packers week one, and, you know, everybody was, oh, the Vikings might be legit. And I kept telling him, yo, Kirk Cousins, give it to Kirk Cousins, take it. And Kirk Cousins has been back looking like Kirk Cousins these last two games. So there's a chance for you to win. And let's not forget last year when they came to Soldier Field and everybody in the Bears secondary was injured. And the man took to the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter to score a touchdown. So Kirk Cousins can be had. This Vikings team can be had. So that's a winnable game. And then you at home against the Washington Commanders. Carson Wentz, not a good quarterback. Winnable game. And then the Patriots, after Mac Jones' injury last night, there's a good chance the Bears are going to be facing Brian Hoyer on Monday Night Football in Foxborough. That's a winnable game. And then you got the end of the month, you got Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys. Let's just say Dak does come back like Jerry Jones thinks he is, which I think it will be ridiculous. There's no way that he's going to be able to palm that football in 5 weeks. It's just not going to happen. So you got five winnable games here for the Bears, five opportunities for Justin Fields to get better. Now, against these five teams, I think you got three defenses here that can still give this man problems. The New York Giants defense looks decent right now. The Vikings defense, especially their pass rush, look really, really good. And that's not bad. That's not good news for Justin Fields and this offensive line. And we'll get to a reason why I feel like the offensive line could get a little better. The Commanders is on. They still ain't got Chase Young. You don't have to worry about that. The Patriots, just not a good team right now. And the Cowboys defense is still solid. So, yeah, there's going to be some defenses here that can give Justin Fields and this offensive line problem. But you also have opposing offenses that are going to – this Bears defense can keep the game close and give Justin more times to get better. So, I just need to see improvement. We going to chalk this up as just a terrible performance. Like I said, this is not just the worst I've seen him in the Bears uniform. This is the worst I've seen him, period. I ain't seen him look this bad in Ohio State. I ain't seen him look this bad in the little highlights as I've seen him in high school. You know what I'm saying? So, we can just make this a one-off. You know, and I give props to Justin for owning it in the post game. But honestly, you know, as a fan, you know, as a media member, I don't really care about that. I don't care. Production. I don't care, you know, about you owning up to it. Whatever. Stevie Wonder can see what went on. Now, you don't have to own up to it. We saw what we saw. Just get better. And the determination there to get better. But this is a group effort. So now, Luke Getsy, this is your job. Can you help this young quarterback who looks like he's struggling with his confidence? Can you get him back on the right track and get him? Because he looks worse than he does last year. Just all three. He looks worse in these three games than any of the 10 starts he had last season. That is very concerning. So they need to get this kid on the right track. But that also comes with the way you're calling the game. Get him some manageable passes. Get him some rhythm passes. And you need to get in a rhythm. There was a play last in the game where he finally found Cole Kmet. And actually, Cole Kmet was open multiple times on that first pick yesterday. It was just that wasn't on Cole Kmet. And Cole Kmet was wide open. But since Justin threw it so late, he just, you know, he had no, you know, no shot of getting the ball. And it flew right into the hands of Jalen Petrie, who had an amazing game yesterday, two picks. And then he sacked Justin in, you know, in just his third game at the start. He looks pretty good out there for Houston. So, you know, you got to get him into a rhythm. You know, get some camaraderie with these wide receivers. I think Equanimeous is a guy. If you can just get him the football, I think he's a guy. You know what I'm saying? This is not the most talented wide receiver core for sure. But this wide receiving core can be way more productive, you know, if there's a rhythm. And I understand this is also a new offense. Nobody looked in sync yesterday. Not just Justin, nobody. Look, they're still learning. So they need to get on that. You know, and take advantage of these next 5 weeks before that gauntlet comes up where they're going to be playing. There's that they got a stretch in December where they're playing the Packers, the Eagles. The Packers, the Eagles, the Bills, all back to back to back. You know what I'm saying? And you got the Dolphins at the beginning of November, and with the way Tua is looking like right now, that's going to be a bloodbath. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, not giving up on them. Terrible start. Chalk this up. You know, he told us yesterday he was going to be looking at a film yesterday. I even saw on Simeon Kelly, his trainer and his, you know, photographer. He was back in the lab last night on the Instagram. Good. So, you know, I love Justin's work out there. I'm not quitting on him. But it's time to go, man. It's time to go. And Bears fans, look, you can call a spade. You do not have to baby this man, bro. You don't. He's a grown man. He'll be fine. You got to call like it is. I'm still a Justin Fields guy. I still have faith in Justin Fields. I'm not going to quit on him three games into the season. But you got to get better. A time for the excuses is over. It's time to play. Time to go out here and play well. Because one thing about the Bears, I can say, unlike the Nagy regime, they have an identity. You know what I'm saying? They have a way to win ball games. And if they can just get the passing game up and running, the Bears can win, I believe, 8, maybe even 9 games. They already got 2 games. For everybody who said they're going to win only 3, that's not going to happen. What you think they're going to want to go 1-14? No. If this passing game can show any signs of life, I truly believe 8 to 9 wins are on play for this team. Just the way off the defense is playing, just the way off the running game is playing, and just the way that they're buying into Eberflus's system. I truly believe that can happen. Now, let's talk about the running game. The running game, which has been really, really good these first 3 weeks of the season. Dave Montgomery did get injured in the first quarter after having, you know, 11 yards off 3 carries, but Flus did tell us yesterday that it looks like it's day-to-day. Now, I take that with a grain of salt because that's just post-game. I'm pretty sure they didn't, you know, give him any serious evaluation. We'll probably know more about that during Eberflus's press conference either today or Wednesday. But even without Dave Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, man, and this kid, he looks good. He looks good. He had 20 carries, 157 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, you know, average of 7.9 yards a carry, and his longest was a big 52-yard blast. And one thing, this offensive line, it's not good passing, but they're opening up holes in the running game. And I got to give them that. Justin had 8 carries, threw, you know, ran 47 yards. You know, Equanimeous had a nice jet sweep. I don't know, last time I seen a sweet rope for the Bears, but it worked. He had 41 yards. Look, man, all respect to Tristan Ebner, but this Tristan Ebner experiment has got to stop. It's got to stop. Like, he's just too slow. He's too slow. And there was a period in the second quarter where they were giving him the ball a lot, and I just didn't understand. And, you know, for this offense in general, too, you know, Velus Jones, you know, hopefully he ramps up the work this week. Since I've been in practice, I haven't seen him doing much outside of stretching, but he did practice twice last week. Hopefully he ramps it up this week. If anything, the Bears need him out there just for special teams, because the special teams right now outside of Cairo Santos is god-awful. Like, they're not starting in good positions and, you know, on the field, and that will really, you know, slow your offense down. You're not starting in good field position. Just off his speed alone, this can help the Bears' offense get in better positions for Justin Fields to be able to move the ball down the field. So hopefully, we know he practiced this week, and hopefully he can make his debut next week. I mean, it's Sunday, and, you know, in the Meadowlands. I would love to see that. And then that's another weapon you have, you know, for the wide receiving core. So there's a lot of ways that this offense can get better, and it's going to be a weekly process, but we need to see more. But one thing, the running game, I have no problem with you going through the running game right now at this stage of Justin's development, you know. And there was also times last night where I didn't really blame Luke Getsy for going through stretches without giving him the ball, because it's like it's like the confidence isn't there. But it's like you also have to fight through that, man. So I don't know what they're going to be talking about in these meeting rooms this week, but I really feel like they need to sell, like, yo, we need to focus on getting Justin in the rhythm. Because if he gets in the rhythm, then they can't key in on the running games. Eventually, these defenses are going to be like, oh, we're not scared of Justin Fields. We're going to put 8 in the box and make y'all throw the ball. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be something that's going to happen too. So they really, really, really need to get that going. But so far, the running game looks good. And so that's going to be something that you have that foundation there. And if you can just get the passing going, the Bears offense should have a chance to put up some points. And it's actually funny, you know, reading the stat, the Bears offense has scored more points than the Green Bay Packers offense through week 3. And I know that sounds like a joke, but it's actually true. That's actually kind of crazy, man. So I'll give you that. But now let's talk about the defense, man. Defense had a big game yesterday. Bo Jack is back. He had his second interception of the year in the end zone. He tried to run it back. I'm glad he stepped out of bounds because he got tackled at the 2. He's looking good, and, you know, and I really feel like having Jaquan Brisker out there, who had another great game, really allows Eddie to fully play the free safety position and, you know, and play his job as a ball hawk, because you got a guy in Jaquan who can tackle and make the big hits and play the real strong safety. And I'm actually going to apologize to somebody who I've not been a fan of. And anybody who's been listening to this podcast since day one, y'all know I feel about this dude. I've been calling him PFF, Ronnie Lott. I got to give an apology to Adrian Amos, man. I really do. I didn't know. Like, you never know what you have till it's gone. The strong safety position after he left was terrible. It was terrible. And that really didn't allow Eddie to be his full Eddie. And, of course, we know Eddie is going through a lot of personal stuff, which I did not know he went through until I started an interview with him and Jeff Joniak. I'm glad he's doing a little bit better. It's glad to see him actually, you know, feeling good and playing well. But Jaquan Brisker allows him to be the true free safety and go out there and get these turnovers and really get the ball rolling. My biggest complaint with this defensive scheme is that they don't dial enough blitz. They don't dial enough pressure, and that's the Eberflus staple. You know what I'm saying? Even when he's with the Colts last year, they were like bottom 4 in pressures. Like, that's just something they just don't do. They didn't sack. I don't think they sacked. I'm looking at right now, Davis Mills. Davis Mills only got sacked 1 time yesterday. That can't happen against better quarterbacks. You got to put them on their behinds. Now, I don't think that's going to change. That's just Eberflus's, you know, philosophy. But the secondary. There was a lot of, you know, these last 2 weeks, there's been a lot of holes in the secondary, mainly because of, you know, Kendall Vildor and Kyler Gordon having a very rough stretch to his rookie campaign. Now, there was some plays. I feel like he did much better in the second half. I thought he's very well. But and you really saw just how important Jalen Johnson is to the secondary. Hopefully he plays next week. We didn't really get an answer on what his status was. This is a quad injury that he injured in practice last week. He didn't practice that much. He was on the field, getting warmed up before the game yesterday, but it was a last-minute game-time decision to not make him play. So hopefully he'll be back in the lineup this coming Sunday. He just needs a week off because you really need Jalen Johnson out there. You really see the holes in the secondary when he's not out there. So hopefully he gets back. But the defense, you know, outside of the blitzing, I really don't have any complaints about them. The Bears' defense, this stat comes from Dan Weider. The Bears' defense has yet to give up a second-half touchdown this season. They have allowed 4 field goals at the halftimes in 3 games. And that's really good. That shows you the defensive adjustments that they've been doing. Shout out to Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator. Shout out to Flus in that regard, getting the overall adjustments period, which is something we did not see in the Matt Nagy era. So I got to give them credit on that one. Nicholas Morrow had a great game yesterday. Him and Roquan Smith had a real good linebacker, game. Nicholas Morrow had 6 total tackles yesterday, had a tackle for loss. He was all over the field. Jaquan Brisker also put in 6 total tackles on the safety. But Roquan, man, we talked about this. Roquan listened to the pod. He listened to the pod last week. Me and J.R. Bang came on the preview pod, and we said we need more from Roquan. Roquan had, in my opinion, his worst game as a pro last week against the Packers. I've never seen a game where I just didn't know Roquan was on the field. And boy, did he back it up today. 16 total tackles last night. Had 2 tackles for loss, and of course that huge interception, which essentially won the game for the Bears. He was awesome. He looks like the guy who he wants the money he's gonna get, and he really stepped up as an anchor. And this is a guy who didn't practice all week. Roquan did not practice all week with a hip injury, and you would have never known that he didn't practice last week. That's how good he looked. Really setting the tone. And you could tell, like, the media whispers of what he is and what he isn't worth, I guess, has really gotten to him, because he was laughing at a couple of media members who I will not name. But I thought that was pretty funny during his post game yesterday. And, you know, he said that emotionally he felt it. So, but the defense did good. And the defense, if healthy, is going to give the Bears offense every chance to win games. And, of course, if you're a lifelong Bears fan, that's pretty much been every Bears defense since the history of this franchise. The offense has got to get on paper. We need to see better from this offense. And I feel like not just me, I think I speak for a lot of Bears fans when I say this. I don't care what they win. I don't think any Bears fan is going to be satisfied about these W's until we see progression from Justin Fields. And it doesn't have to be a gigantic leap each week, but I need that confidence to get better. What I'm going to keep looking at is the time he throws the ball. Because there was even the pass he got off to Darnell Mooney, and Mooney caught. It was a very dangerous pass. It's because he threw it a second or two late. So he's got to get that better. That's something I'm going to be watching from here on out. And that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch over these next 5 weeks, with me not being at the arenas and just watching it from my couch to see how it's going to be looking from that perspective, man. So overall, man, 2-1 right now, 2nd place. The Bears are not looking like one of the worst teams in the league, which a lot of national media pundits said they were going to be. And I think a lot of us Bears fans are like, no. They're not going to be good, but they're not going to be bad. So, like I said, they got 5 very winnable games coming up. And this is a very important part of this season, a very important part for Justin's growth. So I'm really interested to see what's going to be the plan going into this week, what's going to be game plan. I'm going to be interested to see what Flus is going to talk about in his post-game. Of course, I'll be tweeting it. Even though I won't be at Hallis, I'll be live tweeting. I'm going to do that continuously. Even though I won't be at Hallis Hall to do these, to cover these press conferences, I'll still be live tweeting the press conferences. So anybody who wants to get our, our word by word breakdown on that will come. So so now it's Giants week. It is Giants week. The New York Giants play tonight in the Meadowlands on Monday Night Football against their hated Dallas Cowboys. So they'll either be 3-0 headed into this game on Sunday, or they'll be 2-1. So the Bears defense, though, there was a couple things where the tackling looked better than last week for sure. But you better wrap up next Sunday. Because you don't wrap up, it's going to be a long day with Saquon out there. And if you think Saquon ain't forgotten, this is the team he tore his ACL against, he ain't forgot. So he's going to be coming for it. And his defense is pretty good. Brian Daboll has his good defense. And I'm not afraid of Daniel Jones whatsoever. I'm not really worried about the offense. And when we get into our game preview, podcast preview of the game later this week, we'll get into more specifics about what I think about that. But 2-1. Second place in the NFC North. You know, like Flu says, 24-hour rule. I'm going to apply that to the fan base on 79th and Howlers. You can feel what you want to feel about this game. But tomorrow officially begins Giants week. So that's how we're going to get on that one, man. So that is all I've got for y'all today. This is episode 203. Like I said, my brother's on the day-to-day with his throat. So hopefully he joins us for one or both of the podcasts this week. In the meantime, I'll hold y'all down. Y'all know to follow me on Twitter at BarbChairScott. Y'all know where to follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. You know where to follow 79th and Hallis, 79th A-N-D Hallis on Twitter. Visit the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And, yeah, man, the bcnet.com. Log in. All your Barber's Chair stuff, Barber's Chair shop will be up and rolling, man. So enjoy your victory Monday, man. I'm out.
79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Bobby Ingram, Curtis Edison. Know that we've been loyal even when we